reset the play clock. They don't. With 3 seconds left, Daniels flips. He's got another, and this time it's Trent Scott. The big tackle was the extra offensive lineman. And what a night for the Commanders.
Which offensive lineman's going to score against the Cardinals? That's the question.
That is the real question.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Of the breakout performers and or just success stories of Monday night, what's going to carry over and what won't? Short week, you stayed on the road, Arizona's up next. That's the question. 800-636-1067 is the number. We'll open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys right now. So, Danny, we'll start with you. What's something that worked really well on Monday that you think they'll go back to and will have plenty of success with on Sunday?
The chance for one-on-one opportunities. I think you're going to see that. I think based on the fact that you've got to cut, it's like, I always use a boxing analogy. It's not a good one, but you've got to cover your gut because Brian Robinson's giving you those body punches, right? You've got to cover because Jaden Daniels is going to scramble outside. You've got to cover because Austin Ekeler, when he's healthy, is a weapon. You've got to cover because Zach Ertz is operating in that underneath middle of the field. You're going to be able to get some pretty good looks for wide receivers. Now, I don't know that they've got a wide receiver core that's capable of taking advantage every week. You know, I know this isn't the week to do it because of how awesome this past Monday was, but down in, down out, I still don't think this is among the better, even really top 20 wide receiver cores in the game, but you're going to be able to get some good looks and guys are going to have a chance to make some plays. I think that's sustainable based on everything else that they do.
Yeah, I think that one thing that will carry over is I feel really good about the trajectory of Luke McCaffrey. I think he runs really good routes. He's very smart. And the more they want to involve him, the better. Now, that doesn't mean he has to be the number two wide receiver. In fact, I don't think that's the plan. But I think he could play the slot for them. It's just 6 catches through 3 games. But he had 3 in week 1. He had 3 in week 3. And he had 44 yards, including a 42-yard catch and run to set up a first and goal on a 4th and 2. I think that they need to continue to incorporate him. I'm not suggesting majorly, for the record. But I do think a minimum of 2 and probably in the range of 4 to 5 targets every single week in the slot is probably about right. He gets open at a rate that is amongst the best in the National Football League, and he's just learning. He's figuring this thing out as he goes. He's only going to get better. But I think there's something there. Down the depth chart at wide receiver, I'm not telling you they have a great number 2 or an awesome slot receiver, but I think the way they're going to use Noah Brown as their receiver opposite McLaurin on those in-breaking type things out wide, I think that works. I think he can box guys out. He can use his size. He's got a big catch radius. He can make Daniels right with the lunging, diving catch. You saw him go to the ground and scoop a ball off the grass, basically, to make a big reception. He had a nice 16-yard catch at the goal line where he had a guy on his back that, you know, he had kind of stacked behind him. Like, I think that's a good role for him. And then McCaffrey in the slot on smaller DBs is a win. At 6'2", 200, that's a rare size for what they're asking him to do in the middle of the field. I think some of those things carry over. I don't think you're going to hit the 55-yarder to McLaurin necessarily every single week. And this has nothing to do with McLaurin, who's good, and Daniels, who looked amazing. But that throw and catch at the end of the game is so low percentage. That's incomplete, I'm going to say. Like, 3/4 of the time,
yeah,
or more.
An inch to the right with Terry's knee when it hits first. You're out of bounds, and it's an almost play. Yeah.
There's a reason the next-gen stats said there was a 10% chance of that ball being completed the moment it left Jaden Daniels' hand. So I think maybe the McLaurin performance, I'd say, has less of a chance of carrying over. But I think turning up the knob on Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, and kind of down the depth chart receivers, now that there will be more respect paid to McLaurin, and maybe there's going to be, you know, a second safety kind of shading his way on some of the deep stuff. I actually think you're going to see plenty of that underneath opportunity for Jaden Daniels this week.
Yeah, so something that won't carry over. It can't be that clean. You can't have 0 turnovers, 0 penalties until, you know, moments left in the game there in the 4th quarter. Stuff happens. Adversity happens. The tip pass, the muff snap, the miscommunication, the tip pass, the ball that juggles out of the receiver's hands, the overthrow. A mistake is coming, and multiple mistakes are coming, by the way. It's the league. It's what happens. This sport, we have too much data to know that, right? You're not going to go penalty-free again for 50 minutes, give or take, of football. So you all of a sudden are going to face more bad down and distance. They've been unbelievable. And even when it's gone poorly on first down. They've had great makeups, right? Whether it's fighting back from a second and 12 or a second and 20 or things like that. They've done an amazing job. That's not sustainable though, to have a first down penalty, be backed up 20 yards and still get that first down and walk down and score and never punt. Some of the adversity is coming in that regard.
So I'll circle a different point in that same category, which is they're going to turn the ball over at some point. Probably this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
I mean, you're going to go four straight weeks to start the year without turning the ball over? I guess it's possible. Now, oddly, you don't expect a Jaden Daniels pick because he just so rarely puts the ball in harm's way. I think there's a couple of things really good about that and a couple things kind of, I don't want to even use the word bad because there's
it's a trade-off.
But that keep you from maybe being better offensively about that. So the good is he reads things out pretty well, number one. Number two, he is not taking big-time risks, and he almost never takes a bad risk, right? That's really good. What I would say is less than ideal about never turning the ball over or kind of the way he's played the position is it feels like with a couple of the throws to McLaurin notwithstanding, he's got to see it open, if you see what I mean. Like, he is not anticipating and throwing before a guy's breaking. That's sometimes where, oh, I thought you were going to do this, but you did that, and that's where you get the pick or the PBU. It is fourth and two. I'm going to keep drifting backwards, backwards, backwards. I'm 11 yards behind the line, but now Zach Ertz just came free in the middle of the field, and I'll drive it in there because he's wide open. More of that. Mm-hmm. And you're going to get fewer takeaways that way, which is a good thing. But also, when that doesn't come open, when you've now drifted, and you're waiting, that play might be dead. Whereas if you're anticipating and you're driving it into a window before a guy's there, you know, that's where you're going to be most efficient. So I think occasionally, when you see guys like, you almost will always see with a really low interception rate comes a very low touchdown rate or a very low big 20-plus, 40-plus explosive play rate. It's like eating fast food every day and not gaining weight to have almost no picks and to have those explosive big things also.
Yeah, every once in a while you get an Aaron Rodgers 50 touchdown, 6 interception season, and then you realize how remarkable those things
are.
Yeah,
you win the MVP award and you go to the Hall of Fame.
Precisely.
But it just doesn't happen. Like, mm-hmm. the 30-some touchdown season is normally accompanied by, for the best quarterbacks, 8 to 13 interceptions or whatever.
Yep.
And it's just because it happens sometimes. So I view the no interceptions thing as good, obviously, but there's also some telling there that isn't always great. So it's not like I'm looking forward to a pick, but A, I want to see how he responds when it happens, which I think people can relate to. And B, I want a little bit more anticipating and less, he's open, he's clapping, he's flat-footed, let me throw it to him. And they've gotten guys open, which is awesome. If that keeps happening, they're not punting. Don't change anything. But that will not keep happening. That's not how it works. It's not always like that.
So the thing that is sustainable to me, or another thing that's sustainable that we'll see going forward, is even if Daniels is wrong, it's still helpful. The hidden yards that he provides in what should be a 12-yard loss that's turned into a sack for minus two, a incomplete pass that he could have forced or thrown away is a 5-yard gain and a first down. Those little hidden things that aren't sexy, that don't, you know, make SportsCenter or, you know, the fastest whatever it is in television, those hidden yards are so helpful for this group to stay ahead of the sticks, for them to find something where maybe there wouldn't be a drive otherwise, right? A second and 10 is a lot worse than the second and 7 after he scrambles and makes a small play. Maybe you're missing out on the occasional 12-yard pass or 15-yard pass, which you'd like eventually for him to grow into. But there are a couple of those times in that Cincinnati game where you're like, oh, that was open right then if it was perfect. Okay, it's not. Now nothing's open. So instead of a loss of 7, it's a 4-yard gain.
So that's
those plays are huge.